Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Faisal. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm glad that we're seeing the hopefully the last bits of snow.
I hope so. You know, you get excited. That's always the same every year. You get excited for spring, and then, oh, wait a minute, we're not quite there yet, right?
You're talking about
fits and starts.
The weather or the markets?
Both.
Okay.
It's a beautiful analogy, isn't it? Fits and starts. Some days it's snowing and some days it's not.
We've got a great show today. We're going to definitely talk about the markets and how things have been going. Little snowstorms here and there, and then all of a sudden, sun comes
rays
out
of sunshine,
in the market.
Yeah.
But there's been some concerns out there as well that we've been reading about and hearing about. You know, as we get to tax season, people look at their tax receipts and they say, hang on, I have to pay tax on the withdrawal from my registered income fund. And here we go. Now we have the conversation of maybe the rules need to change of this program we call RIF, or Retirement Income Fund. So we're going to bring on an expert talking about some ideas and ways to possibly change this.
And some new options for aging in place. The majority of people that we talk to, right, have a desire to age in place for as long as they possibly can. So we're going to take a look at a different option, one we haven't talked about before, and I encourage everybody to stick around for that.
Cool.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the markets this week as we do. I thought this week was a fascinating week of trading because, and I'm going to oversimplify it, but it'll get us going. On the one hand, plenty of evidence to suggest that inflation is slowing. Rays of sunshine. On the other hand, economic data and Fed commentary to indicate the economy's slowing. And perhaps at a pace faster than expected.
Mm-hmm.
Snowstorm. And it depends on, it's fascinating to watch the trade just this week based on what information comes out and the market trading activity based on that. So you can see right now the collective market mood and what they're focused on. But remember, here's the interesting thing. Raising interest rates is designed to be a sledgehammer to break some stuff. Now what they want to break is they want to break inflation. How do you break inflation? You got to slow things down. You got to take some demand out of the system, right? So we wanted and expected that demand should be coming out, that consumer spending should be slowing, and all these kinds of things should be happening. But when we get the data, sometimes, whoa, that's not good news, right? So it's really fascinating to see the trading activity and what can change throughout the course of the day based on whatever information is released.
So I'm going to go back to a point where it was in... think of my late high school, early university years. And what happened was, whenever I would get dressed, I'd look in front of the mirror, I go, okay, it looks good. You know, I'm happy. And I go, oh, those shoes look bad. Or, oh, I don't like those socks. Or, oh my God, that tie's not tied properly. And I would start picking on little spots. Overall, I looked pretty good, but wasn't too happy with certain little spots when I was looking in the mirror. This is exactly what happened with the data. Oh, we've got lower inflation. Ah, much happier. In the morning, things are happy.
Right.
We're good. And then all of a sudden, they start picking through the data. Well, hang on. Products are down in inflation, not services. So that's a problem.
Yep.
So they start picking away at little pieces, and then the market starts to turn and goes to that snowstorm you were referring to. I think that's where, as people transition to or live in retirement, if you focus on the day-to-day activity, you will need some sort of medication to handle all the volatility, mm-hmm. because it's crazy.
Right.
Trying to understand how you're going to live your life in retirement with the cash flow that you need, the growth that you need, on day-to-day reactions is going to be a problem. But if you look at this as companies are being valued minute by minute, second by second.
Right.
That doesn't change the value of what they do.
And it's not just being valued based on math, right? That minute by minute, second by second is emotional, right? And so I think we forget sometimes that the price action, I always call it the price discovery in the debate. So if there's two big pieces of information, the market is now going to debate which one they are collectively most interested in that day. And I'll take, I think it was Wednesday, right? Wednesday we get CPI data that showed in the United States that inflation was either matching expectations or better than expectation, meaning inflation was lower.
Yeah.
And emotionally, that was a positive sign. Later that day, the Fed, in the minutes to the last meeting, said that the banking crisis might take the U.S. to a mild recession. and the emotion immediately changed, right? So you've got this trading, which people think is always mathematical, but it's not necessarily, right? That daily price action discovery can be very emotional in nature.
And mathematics will come in only on the data you put into it. Mm-hmm. So there's assumptions that are being put in. And so when you're the average individual investing, not trading,
right.
Investing,
right.
Because you want this to appreciate over time to reach certain goals, the day-to-day action is a problem.
Right.
The month-to-month, the 1 year over 1 year. And I think when we've seen where the markets have been over the last 12, 18 months, your typical balanced investor hasn't made money over the past 12, 18 months. They might have even lost money over that period. It's frustrating.
Yeah, but people think of it differently. I'm going to use a different analogy because we often talk about the housing market, right? And people in this country have lost money in aggregate across the country over the past year. But different than their portfolio, they don't rush out and say, I got to sell my house right now, right? Which is, it's a very interesting, different dynamic. And part of that, of course, has to do with the emotional feelings, seeing stuff priced minute to minute, second by second, and day to day, where they don't see that in their house, right? Yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic.
And you bring a good point. So I had a listener call me up and say, you know, my portfolio is down 10% from last year, okay? And my rental properties, I'm underwater. What do you mean by you're underwater? Well, the price, when I bought them, were much higher than they are now. They actually have gone down in value. This is in Ontario, this person, right? Yeah. So we saw a 13% drop in the property value year over year. And I'm concerned about that, right? What do I do with my investment portfolio? I go, your investment portfolio is all of that, not just your investments with the stock portfolio, but also your real estate. I go, what do you want to do with your investments on the stock market? Well, I think we should get out. Well, why do you think that? Well, because I'm down. But you're down on your real estate.
More.
Why don't you take a hit on your real estate then and walk away? Oh, but that's long term.
Interesting.
But stocks are not? Yeah. Are you investing in the stock market for a short term perspective?
Right.
No, it's for my retirement. I'm 5 years away. So then it's long term.
Right.
But it's down. So is your real estate. Like, we had this circle conversation over and over and over again,
right.
And they couldn't separate the fact that if you're down and you want to cash out.
Right.
If that's what you feel, but then why are you not cashing out on your investments, which is also your real estate?
Right.
It's something about the brick and mortar that keeps people invested longer term.
It's exactly.
And no one's calling them up or giving them a statement or on a screen that says, this is the value of your house second by second,
right.
Minute by minute. So there's a psychological perspective of that.
Yep.
But I think what happens is that people will treat the stock market, because of the liquidity, differently than they'll treat their investment property.
Well, and I contend it's the daily liquidity and the price discovery that happens every day. It's shocking, right? Because literally a house can go no bid on any given day. There is no buyers for your house today. Is the price zero? Right? Because that's what it would show up on your statement if there wasn't, or at least what the last bid was,
and
right?
And here's what's missing out of this whole conversation I had with this individual. I said, so you have investments in real estate and in the markets. What's your strategy?
Right.
And it was quiet. Do you have a strategy like buckets, where you have income coming your way and you have growth in a perspective, so you can look at that over the long term and kind of work things out?
Yeah.
No. Well, there's a problem.
Right.
If you fail in your strategy, you're going to fail in your plan completely. And that's where we need to go to. And that's where I think people need to understand what strategy will look like. And we're going to have that at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, April 25th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
The current RIF rules were put in place in 1990. Things have changed since then. Should the rules for RIF withdrawals change? We're going to talk about that after the break. Stick around. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.